The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio and streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome to The Big Show. We got lots of news to talk about. Also, one of my musical heroes is making a first-time ever appearance on The Big Show. Joe Walsh of the Eagles is going to join us for a full half hour coming up, and I'm very excited to have Joe on between 12:30 and 1 o'clock. Joe Walsh will visit with us. So I'm excited for that. Some of the news today is not very happy to talk about. Let's get right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
So many of us woke up this morning to that news of the shooting down in California. Just absolutely awful story. And I'll get to that in just a moment because, as you've heard, no doubt, to that officer who was close to retirement, who went in when bullets were flying to try to stop this gunman in the country music bar down in Thousand Oaks, California. I thought things were supposed to be better after the Tuesday election. You know, Hillary said, well, we can all start getting along once we get control of the House. And did you see what happened on the streets of Portland last night? Because this ties in with the California shooting. In Portland last night, they had an open borders protest, march, Antifa. And the whole point of it was we shouldn't have borders. This girl was asked why she was marching in the streets of Portland last night.
It's about, like, you know, how a lot of, like, the colonizers that first came over here, like, killed Native Americans. And, like, we're still, the government is still oppressing them. Like, who are we to tell someone they're not allowed to come to this country?
Okay, on and on it went. But then what started as a we shouldn't have any borders, and that's literally what this mob wants, is no borders. Anybody should be able to come in to our country anytime they want. But like so many of these leftist rallies, it devolved into just an absolute melee of anti-cop hatred.
All cops are bastards! All cops are bastards!
I'm trying to think of, like, there's a statistic that 40% of police, and this is what is reported, that they beat their wives.
Oh, my God.
And that's just what's reported.
And why bring that message to the demonstration tonight?
Well, I mean, someone had a sign already. I thought it was an important message to, like, get out, because a lot of people don't know that.
And what's the A on your hat mean?
Anarchy.
And what's your name?
I'd rather not do that.
So all these guys, they had masks over their faces. They wouldn't give their name. They spouted absolute nonsense statistics like that one. 40% of cops beat their wives. So then they just repeat it in their echo chamber. And then it goes into chants that all cops are bastards, is what they were saying on the streets there. I watched a lot of video of the rally in Portland last night, the anti-cop hatred. And then I later heard the story about a cop who, I guess, doesn't fit what these guys were saying. This police officer who ran into the bar where bullets were flying. He was close to retirement, this cop. He called his wife right before he raced to the scene to tell her that he loved her. A man, a husband, a father. He was close to retirement, as I said, and he went into this melee where this crazed gunman, and as is my policy, I'm not going to say the name of the gunman there, but this officer was killed. He was gunned down, trying to save lives. And when I think about what's happening on the left in America, where people can chant what you just heard in the streets of Portland. We have a manifestly anti-cop initiative that just passed 2 days ago here in our state. We can't find, the Bellevue police. They're having trouble filling open spots because who wants to be a cop in this atmosphere? Who wants to be a cop in our city, in Seattle, where you have city council members who call them murderers when they're not? When you have no support from the politicians? When you have policies that are designed to attract as many drug-addicted criminal vagrants to our region? And the cops' hands are tied. I got a text yesterday from the wife of a cop, and she said, look, after this anti-cop initiative, and the whole point of it is they want to make it easier to criminally prosecute police officers, even though they couldn't cite examples in our state of where cops are committing criminal acts of negligence in their encounters with the public. We have cops who are exonerated, and as I said, Sawant calls them murderers. And you have that kind of hatred, and yet where would we be if officers weren't willing to run into bars where bullets are flying? It was just ironic that as that anti-cop hatred was spewing in our sister city to the south, that we had a hero cop who gave up his life trying to defend people, trying to save lives. Sergeant Ron Helis is that officer's name who ran into that bar. Literally gave his life trying to save people. CBS talked to Matt Wennerstrom, one of the people in that bar, when the gunman started shooting.
I heard shots, and that's not a noise that you mistake for anything else. Loud music, and it was still, I heard the shots and looked to where the shots were coming from, and saw a tall, probably 6'2", 6'3", figure dressed in dark clothing with a handgun. And he was opening fire on whoever was standing behind the front counter that you pay to get in. You pay the cover fee to get in.
And so that's what this officer ran into. The sheriff down there, Sheriff Dean, told us about the sergeant who died.
That he was willing to sacrifice his life to save others. He ran into danger. He didn't walk. He ran into danger, hoping that he might be able to save someone else's life. And he made the ultimate sacrifice, but he did it as a hero.
But down in Portland,
all cops are bastards. All cops are bastards.
I mean, what has happened to the left in America? What has happened that people can chant that and not recognize that we will have, and I know they're anarchists, and I know that that's what they want. They want anarchy. They want the criminals to take over the streets. They want people to, I mean, you saw what's happening back in Tucker Carlson, the host on Fox News, and a mob of protesters, again, Antifa, they went to his house where his wife and children were last night. Terrorizing his children, his wife. They cracked his door because they disagree with him on issues. In fact, the leader of that mob back east that went to Tucker Carlson's house was on Tucker Carlson's show a year ago, and he said, oh, we would never do something like what they did last night.
Could you commit violence against me if you thought that I had a history of saying things that you imagined were violent?
I would never commit violence against you. I actually, when I was younger, I was a libertarian, and I actually looked up to you when you were a libertarian.
Okay, but let's take me out of this. Okay. I want to know, like, the concept of self-defense is a legal concept, but it's also got, like, a long history and tradition in common law. So the idea is, if I'm hitting you, if I strike you physically, if I physically commit violence against you, you have a right to commit violence back in order to protect yourself or your property.
Sure.
But you're seeming to say that anybody who has espoused ideas that have at some point in history led to violence can be the subject of violence from you. You're not saying that.
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that I believe it is the right for communities to get together to assess what is a threat to them and to defend themselves against that threat.
Okay, so he took a mob to Tucker Carlson's house last night because he believes that differing opinions are a threat to his group or to anybody who doesn't think like Tucker Carlson. And you see, as I said, Hillary told us, oh, if we get control of the house, then we can all start getting along. What we're seeing just in the last 24 hours, and I'm taking the shooting in California out of that. I mean, that was just a, you know, crazed, apparently PTSD military guy who went and shot that up. But the left has lost its mind with the chant in Portland about cops, with storming the homes of people with whom they disagree, with insufferable punks like CNN's Jim Acosta. Last night, the Secret Service took away Jim Acosta's press credential. We talked about this a lot yesterday when Acosta was at the president's press conference yesterday, and he refused to give up the microphone. And a young 20-something White House intern comes to take the mic, and Jim Acosta, and it's, you know, the White House stupidly sent out a video that looked like he'd been sped up a tiny bit to make it look like his chop down on this intern's arm was faster and furiouser than what it really was. But he did. He brought his arm down on this young woman because she was doing her job to get his microphone. And now we have all of these people who are unbelievably defending Jim Acosta. And I played you this audio. I went through all this yesterday. But the left, including the most in the media, have lost their collective minds in our country. Trump was actually giving Acosta a decent answer to the question that Acosta asked.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to challenge you on one of the statements that you made in the tail end of the campaign. In the midterms, that
here we go.
That, well, if let's you don't go, mind, Mr. President, that this caravan was an invasion, as you know, Mr. President,
I consider it to be an invasion.
As you know, Mr. President, the caravan was not an invasion. It's a group of migrants moving up.
Okay, so this is a journalist who says, "I disagree with the word you chose. Mine's right, yours is wrong." You say that's not true. Well, if you have thousands of people whose stated intent is to come into our country, and this is what they're chatting for in Portland last night, is they're, you know, decrying all of our cops. And you know, but Trump answers the
from Central America towards the border with the U.S.
Thank you for telling me.
And why did you characterize it as such?
I consider it an invasion. You and I have a difference of opinion.
But do you think that you?
That's a fair answer. I consider it an invasion. You don't. We disagree. Acosta then, you know, he loses his mind.
Demonized immigrants. In
not
this election,
no,
to try
I
to
want
keep
them. I want them to come into the country.
By the way, he hasn't demonized immigrants at all. Because people who come across our border illegally are not immigrants. Immigration is a legal process to come into our country. Their stated intent is to get these delayed asylum hearings and be released into our country. They won't respond to the court date, and then they're going to live here as illegals. They're not immigrants.
Yeah, but they have to come in legally. You know, they have to come in, Jim, through a process. I want it to be a process.
You know, I mean, Trump's talking nice. They have to come in legally, Jim. I mean, he's being nice to him.
And I want people to come in, and we need the people.
Your campaign.
Wait, You know why we need the people, don't you?
Can you imagine a reporter interrupting Obama right in the middle of a question?
Because we have hundreds of companies moving in. We need the people.
But your campaign had an ad showing migrants climbing over walls and
well,
so
that's
on.
True. But they weren't actors.
They're not going to be doing
they
that.
They weren't actors. Well, no, it's true.
Okay, so let's skip forward a little bit. So then Trump says, look, you're done.
You know, it happened a few days ago. And
they're hundreds of miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
Honestly, I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
Where reporters ask questions
and
the other person answers. Instead, Acosta wants to make it a running debate so he can serve his ego.
That's enough.
Pardon me, ma'am. Excuse
me. That's enough.
So right there, pardon me, ma'am. That's when the intern, doing her job, tries to get his microphone because she hands the microphone to the people who are asking questions, and he brings his left hand and an arm down on her forearm. And I'll tell you what, man, if a Fox News reporter did that to an Obama intern, the media, the world, the left would have gone bat bleep crazy. But instead now, Acosta's some kind of folk hero all of a sudden.
I have one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that you may have
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this
He's answered the question. Put down the mic. The cops has already initiated physical contact with the intern.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
Okay, and on it goes. So last night, Jim Acosta trying to get into the White House, and the Secret Service says, no, you can't do it because, and you know, it's not because he had a contentious conversation with the president. It was because he initiated contact with the intern. And that's when he had to, or that's when they decided to take away his credentials.
Why do you mind? I mean, it's...
I was just told to do it.
Okay, well, I have every right to record this. This is Jim Acosta. I am in front of the White House. Secret Service officer is asking for my hard pass.
It's all about serving his ego. So what a confluence of events. We have a hero cop who loses his life last night. We have far-left protesters in Portland screaming, all cops are... You heard what they said. You have people who are storming the houses of television hosts because they disagree with them. You have so-called reporters who are making physical contact with interns who are trying to do their job, take a microphone. I thought that they were going to feel better after getting the house on Tuesday. That is your big lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, we need to lighten things up here. A musical hero of mine, the great Joe Walsh, joins us next for a full half hour here on the Dory Monson Show. He is one of the greatest guitarists, musicians in the history of rock. He's a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. And he also puts a lot of time and energy into some great causes, including one coming up this Sunday in the Tacoma Dome. Let me welcome the great Joe Walsh to the Dory Monson Show. Joe, what an honor to have you on with me today.
What a great introduction.
I try wow. to make my guests feel at home, Joe.
Well, I feel like really good after that.
I tell you what, I feel really good about what you're doing at the Tacoma Dome this Sunday. It's called Vets Aid. It's a great cause. You're raising money for our veterans. And this is a pretty good lineup you've assembled for this show. Joe, tell me about it.
Yeah, it is. And I thank the world of my peer group for stepping up. You know, asks like this are kind of uncomfortable for us. We all ask each other.
Yeah.
And it's really complex because either people are on tour and are already playing that night, or they're recording so they don't have a band together.
Right.
So you just put a a bunch of asks out there and just hope that they don't all say yes.
That'd be a good problem to have.
Too. But Chris Stapleton is coming. He's great. Don Henley, it was actually his idea. He said, I probably owe you one for Walden Wood, so
nice.
I'll come.
Okay.
And James Taylor couldn't initially, but called back and said, I managed to change things around.
You got Ringo Starr, too?
My brother-in-law, Ringo, he's not even American, but he said, it sounds like too much fun. I'm coming.
I like it.
And then, you know what? Drew Carey was a Marine, and he said, I'll come.
Nice.
So Drew Carey's going to kind of be the MC.
Wow, that is a lineup. And so the money for vet aid, where does that go, Joe?
There are a lot smaller vets assist centers, mostly between the coasts, usually run by a vet, and they don't have any budget. And so Vets Aid takes a look at them. We make sure their affairs are in order.
Okay.
And we talk to vets that they have helped. We make sure they're able to keep going.
What a great cause, because, you know, in these divisive times, Joe, I think if there's one thing we all should be able to agree on, and that's taking care of and honoring and providing for all the men and women who, you know, put their lives on the line for all of us and for our freedom and for our safety. And there's no better cause to unite people than what you're doing here.
I agree. This feels good because it is nonpartisan.
Yeah.
You know, the sad fact is there really is no support structure in place for the guys that are coming home from Afghanistan.
Right. Right.
There really isn't anything, and we've never fought a war like this. More people are coming home that need prosthetics than were killed in combat. There's more suicides than were killed in combat.
Yep.
And the transition from Afghanistan back to civilian life is just too big of a mountain to climb for most of them.
Well, and what I love, Joe, is not only are you doing this concert, which is going to raise a lot of money, but I saw that you're also having a Vets Aid job fair close to the Tacoma Dome on Sunday, which is Veterans Day. So you're helping them make that transition. And I applaud you. It's a great cause, and sounds like that's going to be a great lineup that you have put together, too.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be great. Yeah, the job fair is great. We've got a bunch of companies and corporations. Alaska Air is one of the sponsors.
Nice.
And they've been great, and Boeing has jumped on it, too. But, you know, just because you have a prosthetic limb, it does not mean you're handicapped.
Sure.
It used to, but now it doesn't.
Yeah, they've made great strides with all of that stuff. So
yeah, they have, and people just need training, and that's one of the big things we do. But the job fair is just to get people hooked up.
Nice. Well, it's coming up this Sunday, the concert at the Tacoma Dome with the great Joe Walsh, his Eagles bandmate Don Henley. And Joe, I've never had you on the show before. I got to talk a little music with you here, too.
Okay.
All right. This was called by Rolling Stone the third greatest guitar solo in the history of rock. And this is you and Don Felder in Hotel California. And that's a pretty high accolade. They got Jimmy Page's Stairway to Heaven, number one, and you, number three on the all-time list. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. I'll take three.
Okay. Can you take me back to when you guys first started working on this? Because I've seen all the clips of, you know, you and Don Felder, you know, just vibing with each other as you play this in concert. And take me back to when you knew that you were working on something that was special and timeless and, you know, just something that was going to be around forever.
Yeah. Okay. That'll be fun.
Tell me about it.
What we would do...
Yes.
...is everybody would bring in what they got, and we'd put it on a big coffee table. Now, I don't mean this literally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, ideas, bits and pieces. Rarely did everybody have a complete song, but we brought in what we got, and we put it on a table like a big jigsaw puzzle.
Okay.
And spread it out, and then tried to fit pieces together. This goes here, this goes here. These three things might be a song. This isn't part of that. This is another song, right? And that's how we would start.
Okay.
So we got this idea. It was Felder's idea to have like a descending line. And that's just the walk down of Hotel California.
Okay. I'm not as musically conversant as many. So what do you mean a descending line?
Well, the song starts with the note, dan, 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 dan.
Right.
Each different chord has that bass note.
Okay.
So that's what I mean by a descending line.
Got it. Okay.
Okay? So we threw all that out, and then what we would usually do when we got something... that had enough of it together so that we could put it on tape, we would go out in the studio and we would do a demo.
Got it.
And that would just be the show so far, whatever that was. And then we would give it to Don and or Glenn, and they would take that and write a song. And in this case, this one, Don said, I got this. And then we waited about a week, and he brought it in. And he said, we've got to change the key, so we have to record it.
Okay.
But I've got the words. And this could probably be the title track for the album. So we changed the key and recorded it. Now, this was just... support guitars, bass, and drums. We always did that first. And Don went out and sang on it and had to plug in what he had come up with what the song was, right?
Yep.
So that took a couple days.
Okay.
And we just left him alone.
Okay.
And then he played it for us.
And what was your reaction when, did you know that it was something, I mean, not just magical.
Well, I'm not going to swear, but there are two words, holy, and the second word started with an S.
Okay.
Okay?
I got it. I think I can fill in that blank.
That's what your reaction was.
Yeah. You just
so
knew.
So then Glenn was really the producer. He knew how to write songs technically, how to structure them. He was brilliant at that. He was the arranger.
Yeah.
So he gave Felder and I some instructions as to where he thought a guitar should be. And then Felder and I said, well, look, one of us should put on a part that is complete up to the end.
Okay.
And then the other one of us will put on a part that is complete except for the end. But what they should do is start to turn into a two-part guitar part that we play together.
Yeah, okay.
So it's you and me first, and then it's us. And then at the end, we'll have all of that down, but over that, we'll go at it.
And you did indeed. Yeah, I mean,
and you hit me with your best shot,
right?
And I'll hit you with my best shot. And we were pretty competitive. So I mean, he really kicked me in the butt with his part.
Right.
So I had to step up. And, you know, I wouldn't have played like that unless he was all over me.
So he pushed you. He elevated you.
He pushed me and I pushed back.
Yeah.
And that was the magic of that song. Because we were going, oh, yeah, watch this. And that's how the song came together. And I think that magic, rather than just a performance, two guys really going at it, is the magic of Hotel California.
Yeah. That is the best explanation of that song I've ever heard. That's awesome.
That's lengthy, but
that's
there
okay.
You go.
That's okay. The great Joe Walsh is with us. He's going to spend the rest of the half hour with us. I got to talk more about his musical career. So our conversation with Joe Walsh continues as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Talking with the great Joe Walsh. He's headlining the Vets Aid concert in the Tacoma Dome on Veterans Day this Sunday. Joe, with Don Henley, with Glenn Frey, the vocals of both of those guys. But then, you know, you come in with songs you wrote like this one. I mean, this is one of my favorite Eagles songs, Joe, and it must have been challenging. You had such a great voice, but you're also alongside two of the greatest vocalists in rock history, in Henley and Frey. And was it tough getting your foot in the door vocally with so much greatness around you?
Well, I always felt intimidated by them because they're so damn good.
Yeah.
But when I brought that in, like I say, when we had the jigsaw puzzle, Don and Glenn said, hey, you know what? That is an Eagles song.
Absolutely. Yeah,
you brought that in pretty much. You've written it. But that is an Eagles song.
Yeah. No, it's a signature song.
And that's why I joined the band. When I heard the Eagles and the records before I was in the band, I thought, man, what I could do to have vocalists like that.
Yeah.
What I could do to have that to play guitar on would be amazing.
Yeah.
So I was hungry for that. And when they asked, of course, nobody thought it would work, but I said, yeah. I'm in.
It worked about as well. I mean, biggest selling record of all time. How long you been sober now, Joe?
25 years.
Man, congratulations. What a fantastic accomplishment. You were like a wild man, weren't you?
Yes. I wasn't alone.
No, I know that. I've talked to some of your contemporaries who have told me about that. So when you're on the road now, you're hanging out here in Seattle waiting for your Sunday concert in Tacoma. It couldn't possibly be a more different life from what it was, you know, 30, 35, 40 years ago when you were trashing a hotel room. That's got to be a pretty different lifestyle these days.
Oh, it is.
Is it?
It is. I'm older now.
Every bit is exciting?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
In terms of the craziness, I've been there and I've done that. And I know how. Believe me. But with the internet and all, those days are gone.
Well, and you came through the other side alive. And
I did.
Yeah.
And that's pretty amazing right there. A lot of my buddies crashed and burned, you know.
I know it.
But I decided, you know, when I was trying to figure out why I was still alive after I reconnected with God, I think that the reason is to have a little shining light saying that there's life after addiction and it's good.
Well, and I was looking on your website and I see that if people make a donation to help recovering addicts, that's pretty cool. After all those wild boy days that you spend your time now just trying to help people. I really admire that.
Addiction is something that we as a country need to look at.
Yeah. No.
Because it's rampant.
Yeah, no question about it.
It is like an epidemic. And when you think about it, everybody you and I know is on something.
Oh, yeah. When I was thinking about getting you on and talking with you, just the scope of your career. What are you proudest of?
Well, the thing that does it for me is when people talk to me or write me a letter and say, I was down, I was hurting, I was in trouble, and your music helped me get through it.
Yeah.
That is the best payback that there is. Ego-wise, you know, the Kennedy honors ain't bad.
Yeah. That's
but
good.
For me, man, when somebody got sober because they watched me do it.
Yeah.
And has a life now and has kids and a family. When somebody lost, you know, a family member.
Oh, yeah.
And helped me through it. That's it. That's as good as it gets. To just make a difference in somebody else's life is huge.
Well, I tell you what, man. You have definitely been part of the soundtrack of my life. You know, from the Eagles to all of your solo stuff. Oh, no, tell you something else real quick before we go. Your episode of Live at Daryl's House might be my favorite.
Yeah, that was great, wasn't it?
Oh, my goodness. That's a great show. I love that. But the one with you was, yeah, it was really fun. Joined
you
the heck out.
You know, secret, he had such a great team.
Yeah, I can tell that.
You know, they always got the first take. Yeah. They didn't stop you in the middle of the best that you ever played the song because they had a technical problem.
Right.
They always got the first take. And in something like that, the first take is usually the best one.
Yeah, no, it's just great stuff. Joe, I can't tell you what a pleasure it is to have you on. It's, you know, like I said, I've just been a fan since I was a kid, and it's a treat for me to have you on my radio show.
Well, look, buddy, I don't agree with you on everything, but I love your take. You keep going.
Okay. Oh, I wish we had
It's important that you're on the air.
I wish we had time to talk about the stuff you disagree on. I could set you straight, Joe.
Well, that's a whole other story.
Okay. All right.
That's a whole different interview, but yeah. I'll have a go at you.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's do that again sometime. All right,
Joe. All right, buddy.
Joe Walsh is headlining Vets Aid at the Tacoma Dome this Sunday. Don Henley, James Taylor, the great Chris Stapleton, Ringo Starr. Have a great concert. Thanks for all you do, Joe.
God bless America.
Amen, brother. All right. Thank you, Joe.
Bye.
The great Joe Walsh joining us here on the Dory Monson Show. We got lots more straight ahead as we roll on.